have two co-presenters, Aruna Riki and Dr. Paula Valencia-Moulton with the U.S. Marine Corps Marine and Family Programs Division, Behavioral Health Branch, and they're both data analysts in the surveillance section, so welcome them.
Good afternoon, everybody. We were so thrilled to be here that we're both talking today to you about our suicide tracking and reporting tool and how we integrated clinical data collection tool with a surveillance-only data collection tool. Before we will go into the methodology we use to bring those two data collection tools together, we want to talk about how suicide information is collected within the Marine Corps. Suicides and suicidal attempts have been reportable for more than a decade and suicidal ideations have been reportable since November of 2013. In 2014, the suicide mortality rate among active component Marines was about 18 per 100,000, which is observationally lower than the adjusted civilian rate. The suicide tracking and reporting tool was implemented for surveillance purposes as a way to electronically monitor suicide events within the U.S. Marine Corps. Data sources for START include command-generated reports of ideations, attempts, and suicides, notifications from medical personnel in the form of DODSERS, or DOD Serious Event Reports, referrals from our internal community counseling counselors, as well as other partner agencies who do have visibility of these events within the Marine Corps. The Marine Intercept Program Tracker is that case management or data collection tool that we integrated with the START tool, which is that surveillance data collection tool. And we use the MIP Tracker to monitor program compliance. The data sources for the MIP Tracker as well as START were the same. The headquarters and field level staff identified the need to streamline these processes and bring these two data collection tools together. And so that culminated in START 2.0. It resulted in that integrated data collection tool used by us to track suicidal events both in surveillance and all of our clinical teams across the Corps. And here to talk about the methodology we used is Paula.
To explain the methodology used to implement START 2.0, we are going to use a V model, which is usually used to illustrate the life cycle of a software implementation. On the left side, you are going to see the representation of the design phase. On the right side of the V, you are going to see the different components of the testing phase. And in the horizontal axis of the V is the implementation. As you can see, as is pointed by the arrows, this was more than a waterfall cycle, was a circular cycle with feedback loops throughout the entire process. So during the design phase, what was guiding our actions was answering the question, are we building it right? During this phase, we added to the existing systems different permission levels to improve the security of the existing server. Different components of the MIP tracker and START were implemented into START 2.0. Throughout this process, we were constantly communicating to ensure that the variables and the fields that were existing in the previous surveillance systems were integrated and maintained in START 2.0. Also, throughout this process, we were constantly testing that we were collecting the information that we wanted to. During the testing phase, we actually had three different stages in which we released the START 2.0 system to the different levels of users. We began this by releasing it to data managers to make sure that START 2.0 was ready for internal release, meaning at the headquarter level, as well as the local level or external level, which corresponds to the clinicians in the field. The secondary release was done by sharing this tracker with the data analyst working in the data surveillance section, just to make sure that we were ready to implement it, which resulted in the tertiary release, in which START 2.0 was released to clinical providers and other key stakeholders. During the implementation phase, we wanted to make sure that the users had enough knowledge to use the tool correctly. As the previous presenter said, we also love humans, but we know that we make mistakes. So throughout this phase, we conducted several webinar trainings in order to ensure that we were answering all the questions that could appear. At this stage, START 2.0 was available for all users, and we continue this feedback loops that we started since the design phase.
So we launched this START 2.0 back in April of 2016. Some positive outcomes that we learned since the launch is that it provided that systematic and centralized database structure for all our teams who have efforts in suicide prevention. It enhanced that data entry and quality improvement by reducing the number of collection systems. It increased the visibility of our at-risk Marines and attached sailors who utilize the intervention of the Marine Intercept program. It also has the added capability of having ad hoc reporting features, which has been really useful for people out in the field to kind of make adjustments to their programs or to their interventions or sort of prevention efforts at those levels. We also added needed-to-know permission levels, so we could sort of control that level of access in the tool itself to which clientele that particular team had and how they can enter data for those individuals as they reached out to them for those caring contacts of the intervention. This also expedited data entry. We didn't have those multiple systems to go to put data into. It added the ability to add records for individuals who we didn't have their SSN or EDIPI, so we could identify them personally. It added the capability of adding sailors to our data collection tool, which they do have access to that intervention, that Marine Intercept Program intervention, sailors who are attached to Marine Corps units. We also augmented communications between all our teams who have stakeholdership in reaching out to these at-risk Marines and sailors, and we allowed for collaborative system critique throughout the process. As Paula mentioned, that whole feedback loop from our providers and our research associates has really allowed us to streamline that tool as these interventions have been launched. Some of the limitations include we don't quite have the ability to record share among all our providers who are reaching out to these service members. Systems access can be limited because technology pushes across the core they can vary at times. We do have troubleshooting mechanisms for our clients to reach out to them if they are having issues with the tool itself. Customer input regarding data collection can vary across all our teams. Research and surveillance and our clinical teams may have different ideas of what questions we want to ask and how we want to ask them. So that can slow down the process. There's a lot of great communication across our teams as we do that. This novel approach is fairly new, and we have changed questions over time, so that can break trend lines and limit some of our higher level analyses. However, we are starting to look at across the branch. We're starting to look at descriptive analytic projects, evaluation projects, and basic statistical modeling projects. Some conclusions, some great things we've heard from the clinical teams is that they really do enjoy that regular reporting capability within the system. It allowed them better information for areas of improvement for their suicide prevention efforts. It provided useful information about the overall burden of suicidal behaviors and within the core, and increased the timeliness of reporting by facilitating the identification of those at-risk groups. It generates data to support those evidence-based public health interventions and clinical care for individuals or groups with suicidal behaviors. And finally, the large-scale implications are that it is that multi-use data collection tool that we can use across several of our teams, not just at headquarters. It's centralized, it's integrated, it can provide that broader perspective of our at-risk groups, any issues and concerns that we can bring up to our teams as they go along with our continued surveillance of the system. Another great point that we're excited about is some of our sister services within the military community who are standing up their interventions have touched base with us and asked us how we're collecting those data and in what manner. And we hope that it'll prove useful in other areas as well with other special populations or perhaps even civilian groups. And finally, this type of data collection model really provided a better link between public health and clinical approaches to population and individual mental health with respect to suicidal outcomes. And these are just the policies that guide our suicide prevention efforts, both from a clinical perspective, from prevention perspectives, from surveillance perspectives, and these are all available online. And finally, we receive our civilian data from CDC Whiskers and adjust it to our population as we're doing comparisons across those groups. So thank you so much for coming to our talk. We're very excited to be here, and we hope everyone has a great day at the conference, or weekend, day, well, time.